one decrees that your immune system is sometimes strong and sometimes weak. It's Allah Azza wa Jal. So in the end, the benefit and the harm only comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. But if you think that there's some sort of other source, or some sort of power, and that's why if you wear an amulet, for instance, or somebody takes for you some sort of, you know, you come to some sort of, what they call, quote-unquote, sheikh. It's not really a sheikh, it would be a sheikhan. And he writes for you some sort of, scribbles for you some sort of thing which you don't know about in leather, and he folds it for you and ties it and says, wear it around your neck. And you will be protected. This is all shirk. Because that piece of leather can't help you, can't protect you. And that writing which he's scribbling upon, most of the times if you break those amulets, you will find some strange things. I mean, I've even seen amulets that people have had on them that were cut from them. And when you open up, you find pictures of different devils that they tried to draw. Or satanic words or satanic phrases. This is all shirk because these people are in league with the devils. A second matter which negates the testimony of faith is to deny the finality of the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know that our testimony of faith, La ilaha Allah, has also a second half, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah means, in general, four matters, that we believe in what he says. Because he doesn't speak from his own desire. Whatever he tells us, the Prophet ﷺ, is from revelation which has been sent to him. And likewise, it means that we obey him in what he commands us. So, أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Allah has linked obedience to the Messenger with obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the Messenger, ﷺ, is coming with that which Allah has revealed to him. So when he commands us to do something, it's because Allah has commanded us to that. But instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning that via the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed that, and the Prophet has expressed it in his own words in the Sunnah. Likewise, that we leave that which the Prophet has forbidden us. And that we worship Allah according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And part of that is that we must also believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that before the day of judgment there will be 30 liars, one hadith says 40, all of them who will claim that I'm a prophet and there's no prophet after me. And you know, we find in North America there are about three groups that you could say who believe in a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have the Qadiani, the Ahmadis, who say Ghulam Ahmed is a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have the Nation of Islam, the followers of Louis Farrakhan, who believe that Elijah, Muhammad, is a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you have the last one, was Rashad Khalifa of Tucson, Arizona, who came with the idea that the Quran was based on a number 19, you know, which was really a hoax. And he also claimed that he was a messenger sent by Allah. Likewise, part which negates the statement La ilaha Allah and makes a person's statement invalid is that if you deny the binding nature of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, if you believe that Islam is only the Quran and that you do not accept Hadith, this negates your statement. Because Allah in the Quran tells us that it's from the duty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach us the Kitab and the Hikmah, the book and the wisdom. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. Allah says in Surah Al-Jumu'ah that it is He who has sent among the illiterates, meaning the pagan Arabs, because the pagan Arabs were illiterate people and they had no scripture before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A messenger from themselves, meaning he was from them. They recognized his lineage. They recognized, you know, who he was. He recites unto them his verses, Allah's verses. He tells them that Allah has said to you such and such, the Quran. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, he purifies them from their sin. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and he teaches them the book and the wisdom. The book meaning the Quran, and the wisdom is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have left you with two things. They will never separate until they come back to me as an hawl, at his basin of water which will be given to him on the day of judgment. The book of Allah and my sunnah. And likewise the Prophet ﷺ said, I have left amongst you two things. You will never go astray so long as you hold on to them. The book of Allah and my sunnah. So the book of Allah, the sunnah is the explanation of the Quran. Whether the explanation comes by word of the Prophet's words or by his deeds, or by his tacit approvals. So to say that Islam is only the Quran, and that you reject hadith, this makes you a person who has negated his statement of faith. I likewise to judge by others than the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. In other words, if somebody says that politics is not part of religion, that Islam is only in the mosque, but outside of the mosque, this is we're going to run the affairs according to our own way. This throws you out of Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His Quran, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah swears by Himself. He says, no. By your Lord Muhammad, they will never believe until they judge you in that which they dispute amongst themselves. So all worldly disputes, whether dealing with matters of marriage and divorce, whether dealing with matters of international affairs, whether dealing with matters of commerce and trade and economics and so forth, must be referred back to the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to humanity to live by. And so whoever says that no, that I do not accept the Sharia, or that the Sharia is barbaric, how can we at the end of the 20th century and at the threshold of a new millennium cut the hand of a thief or something like that? This person has left the fold of Islam, even if he says La ilaha illallah. Likewise, to ridicule any aspect of Islam, in other words, to make fun of anything that is from Islam or from its rewards or from its punishments. You know, sometimes people, they do it in play, they make jokes about the religion. But this is a very serious matter, because Allah tells us in the Quran of a people who, during jihad, when they were on the battlefield, were making jokes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, are you making jokes concerning Allah and His ayat and his verses and His messenger? لَا تَعْتَذِرُ. Do not make excuses for yourself and say that we were just joking and playing around. You have disbelief. So the point is that whoever makes jokes or, you know, ridicules or mocks the religion of Islam or its rewards or its punishments has disbelief. Likewise, among the matters that lead to nullify one's testimony of faith is to hate any aspect of Islam. And if somebody says, well, you know, I love Islam, it's a great religion, I hate the fact that a man can marry four women, for instance. Or, you know, I hate the fact that it declares non-Muslims as unbelievers. Or I hate the fact that, you know, you have to slaughter an animal at Hajj time. I believe we should only eat vegetables. We shouldn't be harming animals by slaughtering them and killing them. To hate any aspect of Islam leads to unbelief, whatever that aspect is. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Muhammad, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That is because Allah tells about the unbelievers, they hated what Allah has sent down. So Allah nullified their deeds. So if your deeds are nullified, means they're not accepted by Allah, this is because you're an unbeliever. Because only the believer's deeds will be accepted. Likewise, among the matters that is prominent among people and often seen, which negates your testimony of faith, is to engage or become pleased in any act of sorcery, of sihr, and also what is related to that, from al-kahana, like palmistry, or having, you know, reading tea leaves, or reading a coffee cup, or reading somebody's palm, or astrology, saying that the stars affect, and so forth. This is all shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the two angels that were sent to Babylon, and who taught people sorcery, that the angels would tell the people before they taught anybody sorcery, like how to make a man and a woman averse towards, a husband and wife averse towards one another. That we are a fitna, a trial for you. So do not disbelieve, meaning by learning sorcery from us. But the people, the Babylonians, I mean, wanted to have this skill, so they went ahead and learned it. They couldn't care less about their faith. So the point is that whoever does it, and that is because a person cannot engage in these matters, whether fortune telling or so, unless he is in league with the devils. by, and what happens is that these people, they will worship the different devils, the jinns. And we know that the jinns are not like the human beings. They have certain abilities which we do not have. And so therefore, by worshipping them, the jinns will then be in their service, and each of them gets what they are looking for. The eighth matter is that which negates one's testimony of faith, is to believe that one may, doesn't have to follow the religion of Islam only to go to paradise. That you can follow, for instance, you can say, well, it doesn't really matter whether you're a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim, as long as you're good in life. As long as you've got good characters or good behavior, you'll make it to paradise. This is unbelief. Because Allah in the Quran says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِسْلَامِ. The religion with Allah is Islam. And Allah says, وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْ غِيَرِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he will be among the losers. And the meaning of the word Islam in these two verses is that general Islam, meaning the religion the prophets came with. So the Prophet Moses, he came with Islam. And the Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, came with Islam. But when those people changed their messages, that became no longer Islam. It became whatever it became. And likewise, when the Jews disbelieved in their final prophet, sent to the children of Israel, Jesus, their faith no longer benefited them, even if they were upon, let's imagine, upon the same religion that Moses came with. And likewise, when the Jews and the Christians rejected the belief in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their previous faith did not benefit them anything. Even if we were to imagine that they were on the same faith that they are on, that their prophets came with. The point is that there is only one way after the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to paradise, and that is the religion of Islam. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith reported by Abu Hurairah and collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih Muslim, that there is not a single Jew or Christian from this ummah. What do you mean by from this ummah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jew or Christian from this ummah, meaning those Jews and Christians who lived from his time until the Day of Judgment, because they're all from his ummah. They're all people to whom the Prophet ﷺ was sent to give da'wah to. Who hears about me and does not believe in me except that he is from the hellfire. So any Jew or Christian who has lived after the sending of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and hears about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, in other words, he knows knowledge, and it's been told to him that there is a man, his name was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came, he's the final prophet, it's upon you to believe in him, and yet rejects it, he will be in the hellfire. And since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example of the Jews and Christians, who are people who have a scripture, and who identify themselves with prophets, that it means that this is more applicable to those people who have no scripture, and are pagans, like Hindus and Buddhists and animists and Confucius and so forth. The final matter which I'll mention, which leads a person or nullifies his testimony of faith, is to turn away from Islam by not learning it or acting upon it. By not learning it or acting upon it. How is that? Well, you know, sometimes you'll find a person that, you know, even though he says he's a Muslim, his whole life he'll never pray. And he'll have no time to learn not even the most simplest matters of his religion. This type of person, who even though he nominally identifies himself, but he has turns away in totality from Islam, he's an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever and he has nullified his testimony. This is different than the person, for instance, who tries to practice Islam, but, you know, falls short. This person is a sinner, in the sense that, you know, he prays, and he tries to do the deeds of Islam, but sometimes his desires overcome him and so forth. This person is a sinner. He needs to repent from his sins. If he does not repent and dies in that state, he's underneath Allah's judgment. Allah will either forgive him or Allah will punish him in the hellfire. But eventually he'll make it to paradise if he died on Tawheed. But the one who turns away from Islam in totality and neither learning it or acting upon it, he is considered to be an apostate and unbeliever. Alright, with that I believe we've come to the end of the lecture, and we have about 15 minutes for some questions. And that was just a brief review of the matters that negate our testimony of faith. I'd like to conclude by saying that the matters which negate the testimony of faith, some scholars have listed close to 400 matters. And I only mentioned about 8 or 9. These are like the more prevalent matters which are found amongst Muslims today. So it's important that a Muslim takes heed of them and cautions others regarding these matters, so that we truly apply this testimony of faith and do not fall and slide back into apostasy and unbelief after Allah has saved us from that.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.